Welcome to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today we have special guests, the Rotolo brothers, Kate and Ty. Before we get started, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Jason, Levant, and David, as well as judotv.com, where you can use our discount code Shintaro. Now to the main episode. Hello everyone, welcome to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today it's just going to be me. Shintaro's traveling around the world right now. He's actually in Turkey, commentating on the Judo Grand Slam in Antalya, or it's Turkey now. It's not Turkey, Turkey. Yeah. Wow. So, and today we have special guest, Rotolo brothers, Kate and Ty. They're gonna have a fight coming up in on April 5th in Bangkok. One Fight Night 21. You guys can check that out on Amazon Prime. So today I just wanna talk to you guys about your journey as a BJJ practitioners, submission grapplers. So let's get to it. I know that you guys are the like child prodigies. Like you guys started at three BJJs, and it seems like your dad was a big BJJ practitioner already. So can you tell me about how that happened? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, you know, I don't really remember much in that time, so I'll go from what I was told. But you know, we started training when we were potty trained, really. So as soon as we were out of the diapers, we were on the mats, you know, and yeah, we wanted to even train before then. You know, my parents said, "All right, priorities. You know, when you guys are ready, you're going." But yeah, you know, we just my daddy was a blue belt at the time.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if he was like a black belt already, like, but he also just started, and then loved it so much.
I think maybe been traded for. He was like one of those sandbagging blues, like maybe not traded. But
like 5 years. I know those.
Handful of years, yeah.
I see.
Yeah, you know, he was always having my brother and I scrap with each other just before jiu-jitsu. Notice, and he was always just like with us, so
just horse playing around. Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's great.
First class it was on,
right? And how was it like growing up with a brother? You guys are identical, right? So identical twins, so you guys are the same size and everything. So it must have been great to have a training partner like that, because I have a brother myself, but he's younger, so, and we have some weight and height difference, so it wasn't too like that, even though we wrestled and did judo together. Was that like growing up with a twin brother?
It's like a carbon copy of yourself, you know? So yeah. Really, it's like for clothes, everything, it makes sense. It's cheaper.
That's easier, for sure. Definitely is the reason why we're at today, you know, as far as our level and competition, everything. It's because of that, you know, every single day, for sure. Yeah.
So do you guys have you guys developed different metas or like different styles, or do you guys, are your styles pretty similar? Like, how did that happen?
They're similar in ways, but they also have differences. You know, it's pretty intriguing that. Like, we have a lot of similarities, but we also have some very big differences, you know? Say a lot of our techniques are very similar in which techniques we like to use, but our paces and things like that tend to be different.
Oh, so the difference is in the pace. So who's the go-getter, and then who's the more relaxed one?
I would say Kate doesn't even know what he wants to do. You know? To be honest with you, you know, I usually have a pretty solid game plan, you know, and I try to follow it. And if it strays, it's okay. But Kate, I know for sure, he's incredible to watch.
Kate takes it as it comes, huh? Okay. No. So you guys started in Huntington Beach, and that's when you guys were training at Art of Jiu-Jitsu with the Mendez brothers, yeah?
Yes.
And then...
Oh, I take that back. Sorry, we first start. So that was where we did the majority of our training. But when we first started out, it was at a smaller gym called Kleber Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay, that's still in Huntington Beach.
Yes. Yeah,
okay, I see. I see. So as you guys were taking it more seriously, you guys were moving to a bigger gym and stuff.
Exactly.
And then... I see. And then you guys eventually moved to ATOS. With Andre Galvao. So by that time, when you guys are training with the Mendez brothers and Galvao, like, were you guys already dedicated to going pro? Like, because as you guys were so young at that time, and then jiu-jitsu back then, I mean, now it's like a full-on professional sport on its own, submission grappling and all. But I would imagine that back then the scene wasn't at all like like that. Like, there wasn't like a clear path towards to becoming a professional athlete in this area. So how was that like?
Yeah, you know, we when we made that change to Atos, you know, we were driving from Huntington to San Diego, which is about an hour and a half.
Yeah,
doing that home pretty much every day. You know, it's a long drive, and so we'd make the most out of our training days, and it was a grind, you know, for sure. And just going over, what was the question in particular?
Oh, sorry. I was wondering if you guys already had an idea that you wanted to like dedicate your lives to this, right, like as a professional.
Right. When we were early teenagers, say around like, you know, 12, 13 years old, we first landed our first sponsorship through jiu-jitsu. And then when we were like, you know, early teenagers, we started making a little bit of money, some paychecks. Mm. And, you know, at that time, we were young, obviously. And at the time, like, to really even make a living, you still had to go open up a gym, you know? And,
right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, too much. And that's why I was even just thinking about it now, like how much effort and trust that my parents put into my brother and I. Because, you know, my mom was driving us to San Diego every day, you know, and they were putting all of their chips in our basket, almost like, right?
Right.
Yeah. 3 years old, they were just putting in all their effort, you know, and it's
paying off now, you know, you guys are in the world stage, you know, exactly. Amazon Prime and everything.
Yes, sir.
That's great. I'm going to ask you individually about your professional careers a little. So let's start with Cade first. And I wanted to ask you about how it was to fight Shinya Aoki, the legend, the Tobikan Judah, you know? How was that like?
Oh, such a legend. Yeah, big fan of Shinya, man. He's an amazing person. His ability, like his hand, you know, his hands, my brother and I, we both have like pretty big hands. Like most people, you know, for the most part, our hands are bigger. And it's crazy. When I put my hands up to his hands are like this much bigger than mine. He's like,
his hands are that big?
Literally, it's unbelievable. I didn't know. And that was the first thing I noticed in our match was just grip strength. He feels like a monkey almost, just where you get a grip and you can't get it back. You know, it's crazy. It's wrist control. You know what they say? They say big hands, big gloves.
Yeah. They say a lot of other things about people with big hands, but you know, we'll skip that.
But his grip strength and his ability to kind of defend the chokes and keep it safe. He was amazing, man. He was awesome.
Nice. Were you guys able to? Because he was a little older at that time, right? Like he was kind of the legend already. And then did you guys have a chance to talk about BJJ and everything?
Absolutely. Yeah, obviously the language barrier is a bit difficult. Yeah. We did the best we could, you know, a little translator, things like
that. English is way better than our Japanese.
That's very true. I can promise you that. But we tried as much as we can, you know, and every time I see him, it's always, you know, hats off, respect, you know.
Such good vibes with that guy. He's so humble and he's just a good guy.
You can tell he's a down there guy. He's very, you know, nice.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan also. And so how about, like, let's move on to ADCC in 2022. You won that by beating Mikhail Galvao, and not related to Andre Galvao, your teacher, right? No, your coach?
I don't think so.
So how's that? Like, that's ADCC. It's the, you know, they say it's the Olympics of submission grappling. I mean, it's the highest competition out there for submission grappling. How was that like at such a young age?
Yeah, that was an amazing experience for sure. The ADCC is definitely probably our most prestigious or one of our most prestigious events we have out there. And yeah, it was got to be, without a doubt, the best event of my life and best performance of my life. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you have to change anything about your training to get ready for that, or would you just kind of keep it the same?
Yeah, no, we did some small changes for sure. I guess the biggest change would be the foundation training and the amount of, you know, body work and body awareness going into that. You know, we're training really hard, and you know, in the past when we train really hard, our bodies start to break down. You know, just like the amount of, you know. We call it foundation training and you know just doing as much just body work, and that was the best my body has ever felt for a competition and the best I physically felt, because I was putting in the work and also feeling healthy and feeling good, you know. So
I think that's how you can tell a sport is maturing, like as a professional sport. That's when like athletes take care of themselves instead of just we gotta go hard all the time, because that's not sustainable, right?
You see surfing back in the 80s, so you'd trip
exactly. So and now after that, you signed with one championship. So how did that transition happen? And, you know, how was it like to become the first ever the lightweight submission grappling champion? Like, was it an easy transition? What, I think I read that you guys are thinking about going into MMA also with one championship. Is it? Yes, yeah. How yes, is it?
In the near future, that's the plan. Yeah. We've been so, so thankful and stoked just with everything that we've done through one championships. You know, they always bring such a great level of professionalism and so easy to work with. And it's always an amazing show, not even to be a participant, but to, or not even to compete, but to also just be able to be there and as a spectator, just to watch all the talent on the cards.
Right.
It's always just, it's an experience for me, you know? Yeah. So, you know, I'm so thankful and
just being there on the show is such an epic experience. But what we've done for us outside of the show has been unreal. You know, we got to build our dream gym because of Chatri and one, you know, so.
Man. We interviewed Chatri and he's amazing. He himself is, you can tell he himself is a martial artist, you know, and he knows how to take care of the martial artist he hires, you know?
100%. It takes a martial artist to really understand one. And no better person to run a platform, a martial arts platform.
That's
than a
right.
martial artist himself, right?
That's right. All right, now to Ty. So I know that in 2021, IBJJF World, you guys fought. You guys had a match. And Ty came up top. Yeah. What happened?
That's so classic. Right in the background right now, it's just literally just going on.
But
that's a funny story. You know, 2 days before the event, I was in Costa Rica, and I wasn't planning on doing it. You know, I was planning on.
Oh, okay.
Worlds and my mom was like, "No, you got it. We're doing it. We're I'm like, all right." Last minute, I committed, and I thought for sure I could do the middleweight division. And I guess I was signed up in the light, and I couldn't switch. So I had to lose 15 pounds in 2 days. I came back. It was gnarly. Every match I had that day, I was just cramping everywhere you could think of. My forearms, my hips. I had the worst performance. But I made it to the finals.
He just coasted his way to the finals somehow.
Sometimes.
I remember being in closed guard. Like, both of my forearms are just locked in cramps. Both of my hips cramps. I'm like, I'm not going to move.
you know, it's like the muscle, your forearm muscles are pumping and you just can't do anything, right?
And it was funny because Kate had a little bit, not too much of a camp, but for sure more than me. And he was killing everyone, subbing everyone, flying through, amazing performance. So when we met in the finals, I was already thinking like, okay, I'm going to have to pull something out of the hat for sure because I'm not feeling good. Yeah. You know? I know Kate is on fire. And then the match went kind of how I thought it was going to go, like back and forth. But Kate's starting to take it a little bit more. You could tell he's a little fresher and he's just on top of it more. And then I just created an opportunity. I got lucky on an armbar. He got to sleep a little bit.
I mean, that goes to show how close you guys are. You know, like you guys know each other's game, like inside out and everything. I mean, that could only happen because it was your brother. Like you kind of know how to make the opening because you've done it every day for like 20 years almost, you know. That's amazing. That's amazing.
No one knows, you know, each other better. We almost know each other better than ourselves, you know.
Right. And now after that, you competed in who's number one with Flow Grappling. So two division champs and the youngest black belt champion at 2020 IBJJF Worlds. And you also competed at ADCC Absolute. I know it's a lot. So I'm mostly curious about how the competing at the Absolute division turned out to be. Like, why? What made you decide that? Because that's it's intimidating, you know.
For sure, yeah. I love fighting bigger guys. You know, I've always loved it. And, I don't know whatever it is, the David Goliath, and I just don't like the feeling of thinking that there's someone out there that can beat me, regardless of the size. You know, so. Yeah, it was an Absolute division. I lost in my division at ADCC. You know, I had a shocker first round. And, this wasn't much of – I knew I could do a lot better, you know. So I was really excited to do the Absolute. And, I had some great matches. I got the submission over Pedro Marino, which was a war. And then beat Philippe Pena, who's an animal. You know, he's a big guy too. So in that match, I ended up tearing my knee in a couple of different spots.
Yeah.
So going into the Marigali match, I had to, like, fully refocus, get my mind in order. And then I had a war with Marigali too. Ended up, he took it with the ref's decision. I thought it was pretty controversial. I don't submit someone, I never complain, you know. But you know, I'm really looking forward to get that one back, especially with a healthy knee. You know, I seen after
and
some shit, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sure that'll happen soon. And then you also signed with your brother to one championship. And funny thing is, you had a bout at one fight night 10 against Rainier de Ridder from the Netherlands. We actually interviewed him for that fight.
Oh, no
you know,
way.
Yeah. He's a great guy. I watched the match, and you know, I you know, Rainier is a great guy, but I'll have to say you took that match, you know, fair and square. Yeah. So how was that like? Yeah, how was that like? Because I remember Rainier, because he has a judo background, so he said he wanted to do more of the takedown game also. But you went toe to toe with him on that, on your feet. Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of faith in my wrestling. You know, I'll never pull guard, right? Pretty much. So
I love that.
No matter how big they are or who it is, you know. So that was one thing with Rainier. I really wish that match wasn't in the cage. He was doing a really good job of being defensive on the cage. Right. You know, it's hard to get him off.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, you know, I was just the same thing I always do, you know, put the pace, go forward, try to break him. You know? Nice. I had more time in that match. But thanks to Rainier for taking it. He's an MMA fighter. You know what I mean?
So, I know. I mean, you know, I'm a judo guy myself, so I love that you guys are like all about the takedowns too. You know,
oh, I love it.
Guys,
beautiful. Yeah. So
don't pull guard, guys. All the cool kids are out there. All right. You went to become welterweight submission grappling title against Magomed Abdulkadirov. Yeah. So how was that? Like, you know, I think he's a Sambo guy. Am I remembering correctly?
Magomed.
Well, maybe not.
Magomed, yeah.
He might dabble, but he's mostly jiu-jitsu.
He's jiu-jitsu? Yeah.
He's a beast. He's one guy that I didn't take lightly. You know, he actually has a good win over Mika Galvao. I was going to say he was the only other, you know, when I submitted Mika Galvao at ADCC, they're saying, you know, the only guy to submit Mika or but it wasn't true. The only other guy to submit Mika was Magomed, actually. So,
right.
You know, he's a bit of a super name for sure. Yeah. And he's a tough guy, you know, so I didn't take him lightly. And I went there to do, you know, what the plan was, you know, go secure the belt, and it happened, you know, so I was super stoked. I didn't get the sub. The match was super exciting, you know, he was very defensive, you know, so I couldn't quite get the sub.
Yeah.
No, that was Magomed. Oh, yeah. That was the last one. Yeah. But I came real close many different times, you know.
Well, I mean, a formidable four like you, you have to be a little defensive, I'm sure, you know?
For sure, you know? So, yeah, I was just great. It was a great day, you know, to finally get the belt wrapped around my waist. My brother had the belt for a little while now, so to be able to, you know, be the champ with him.
Yeah. Your parents must be so proud, you know? All those years of driving paying off finally, right?
That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So now, this brings us to April 5th coming up, One Fight Night 21 in Bangkok. Cade is fighting Francisco Lowe. You're going up a weight class.
Yes.
Well, are you trying to do the double champion thing?
180. No, so it's a catch weight. So the goal really, I don't think he can make 170. I would have loved to fight, you know, defend my title.
Okay.
I just think it would have been too much weight for him to cut. So they asked that 180, and I was like, yeah, let's do it.
All right. Oh, so you've been eating a lot and just trying to gain some more muscle. Is that how you've been doing
it? Big boy season. Yeah, I'm feeling out. You can tell.
I can tell. So, what's your plan? Gameplay. Obviously, you don't have to reveal every detail, but what are your thoughts right now?
Going just into this win. Match? You know, he's a bit of a question mark as far as his game goes. He's very. He's almost similar to me in a sense where he's an opportunist, where he just kind of sends attacks from anywhere and just kind of makes it happen. It's not really like an A game that you know he's going to go for. You don't know if he's going to go for a footlock or a triangle, or, you know, he's got some flying submissions that, you know, are pretty cool and crafty. So he's kind of just a question mark. So that's why I'm excited. I know he's going to bring some new things to the table, and he's an exciting competitor for the most part. So I'm excited to have someone who's tough and kind of it excites me.
Nice. It'll be a fun match for you. Like, you have to stay on your feet, huh? Okay.
Yeah, so, for sure. Absolutely.
And Ty, you're defending your title against Isaac Mitchell. I hope I'm saying it right. So same question to you. What are your thoughts right now, like going into this match?
I'm excited. I'm really excited to defend my belt. You know, that's my first belt defense, and I'm so happy I just got the belt. You know, obviously I don't want to lose it. You know, so
everyone wants it now. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's a new one. You know, 185. You know, one championship is doing something that no one else is doing, you know, and they're giving opportunity that you can't get anywhere else, you know?
Right. So,
yeah. I feel like I'm fighting for more than just, you know, a belt, you know, and it's more than just a match. You know, there's a lot that lies.
You know, I mean, there's no other organizations doing this submission grappling like bouts, you know?
So 100%, not the way the one's doing it. You know? I'm real excited to get Isaac, you know, he's an animal. He's a really, you know, high level, tough guy, you know? And, that's what makes me the most excited, you know, to fight.
Yeah.
I know he's come at me, and then I'm going to obviously come right back at him. So,
all right. Yeah. Very, very pumped for you. Best of luck to you both on April 5th. Yeah, and we're going to wrap up with two questions we ask everyone. So, first is, what does martial arts mean to you?
Martial arts, the way of life, honestly, for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way of life.
Lifestyle, you know, it's pure. You can't do too much jiu-jitsu and live a bad lifestyle. I'll tell you that much. You'll be the nail every day, and I'll be the hammer, you know? So that's one thing, you know, that jiu-jitsu and just martial arts in general is
keep a good head on your shoulder. It saves lives all over, you know?
Way of life. Yeah. I completely agree with that. So now, the last question to wrap it up. You know, you guys are the superstars now, the child prodigies, and I'm sure a lot of young people are looking up to you. So any advice to those young kids who aspire to be just like you guys, to be champions?
Yeah, 100%. You know, make sure you never lose the love of jiu-jitsu, right? Or whatever it is you're doing. Number one, you just got to love what you do, right? When you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, right?
Classic.
I'll tell you what, there's definitely days where it feels like you hate it. You know, you're on your last round and you're 2 hours into a practice and you're thinking, why am I doing this again? But, you know, you always remember at the end of the day, after that, you know, that gold medal is around your, or that belt's around your waist or whatever the case may be, it always pays off in the end.
Right.
You never regret putting in the work.
Yeah.
100%.
And always keep, you know, your friends and family close, you know? And and that's that, you know? If you have a good circle around you, that'll help take you so far. You know, that's one thing that my brother and I, we've been so grateful to have our whole lives, you know? So, yeah.
It's so great that you guys are mentioning that because, you know, this will be tough. No matter how much you love it, it'll be tough. So you have to love the art and you have to have loving people around you to support you. And that's very great.
Life, life's not easy.
Exactly. Yeah.
You have some people around you. Exactly.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. Best of luck to you on One Fight Night 20 on April 5th. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. They're going to be in Bangkok, Thailand, right? Yes. Best of luck to you. Yeah.
Thank you so much, brother. Great talking to you.
Great talking to you guys.
Right on.
Yes, sir.